Shall we just say a short word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful time that you have given us, that we can come together in your presence. Lord, you have assured us that when two or three gather in your name, you shall be there. Thank you that you are here. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence and we invite you to lead us into all truth even this morning concerning your word, so that, Lord, when we leave this place, we will be better than when we came. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much, Pastor Richard, and your beautiful wife. Thank you for having me here. And I felt at home already yesterday as I was doing the training here. It's like I've been coming here forever. You've got such amazing pastors. By the way, I speak isiXhosa. I come from the Transkei. And pray for me because I must preach in English here now. For obvious reasons, so I think in Xhosa, and then I must then quickly interpret it to English and within this short time. And they always say English never loved us tinamaXhosa. We you know when you they say your English is always consistent with the school fees you paid. So my school fees was R7.50 a year. So pray for me then that I, when they ask you where is your wife, you say my wife, he is at home. And so please pray for me. Amen. It's very, very great to be here. We had a very beautiful time yesterday training evangelists. And even this morning, I will be sharing a word just to encourage us on the Gospel Church, which is what I will be talking about. But before I do that, I just want to appreciate you, Pastor Richard, and your wife for the work that you are doing. You know, standing in full time to help the Lord build his house is not child's play. You know, and committing to the work. I know I've been in ministry as a leader. I've been a leader in the church for 30 years now. And I've been in full-time ministry for 28 years. I know what I'm talking about, and so it's not easy. So I'd like to encourage the church also to really support them, lift up their arms as God's chosen servants for such a time as this. I want to just release this word for you as I was praying yesterday that the Lord would give me a word just to encourage you and your wife. 2 Chronicles chapter 15 verse 7, it says, "But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." Your work shall be rewarded. In the NLT it says, "Do not allow your hands to give up. The test to do that will come, but refuse to give up. Be strong, your reward will come." In other words, payday is coming. Amen. Payday is coming. Praise the Lord. And before I get to the word, I also just like to encourage, you know, building a church needs a strong financial support. I want to encourage all those who are part and parcel of this ministry, never hesitate to give to the house of the Lord. Never hesitate to support the church financially so that there is food in the house of the Lord. The Lord says, bring tithes and bring offerings. You know, after everything that we believe God for as ministers, you know, one of the stressors is finances. When the vision is there, the burden to do the ministry is there, but then the finances are not so much forthcoming. But God will always provide for his work through his people. So the numbers that are here, the work, everything, the vision is already covered with all the numbers that are here. And I want to encourage people, as God lifts you up, as God takes you from one level of glory to another, as God prospers you financially and otherwise, let also your giving prosper. Your giving must be consistent with the level that you are in. If we could ask, everyone brought their offering here, and we bring back the guys that took the offering, let them stand here, and then we say, "Everyone, come and take the offering you offered and lift it high." I don't think everyone would be keen to come and fetch their offering and put it high and let everyone see what they offered. You see, sometimes you are ashamed to be associated with the offering we gave. But we're not ashamed to be associated with the cars we drive. We're not ashamed to be associated with the phones we carry. But when it comes to offerings, we hide our offerings. And you find that sometimes my offering is not consistent with my hairstyle, with the clothes I'm wearing, and with the house I live in. So I want to encourage us, as God lifts us up. You know, the offering is one of the things that is a serious challenge. When you start working and you are still so junior in your job, you buy the smallest of cars. You'll get your quid, you'll get your 1.3 engine car because you are just getting started. Amen. And then, but as God blesses you and takes you higher and you get the promotions, then you trade that quid in and you get a better car, a higher engine, higher powered car. You even stop shopping at certain shops you are shopping at. Even for your clothes, you go to even higher shops. Why? Because you are growing. Your level is moving from one point to another. And everything begins to change. You were living in a bachelor flat. And then now, because now you are higher up, you then move to higher level, you know, estates, etc., etc. So because as you grow, you lift everything about you. So even concerning our offerings, let our offerings rise as we rise. And may that be something that we consider so that the doing the work of the Lord may be easy. Can you all say amen? Look to your neighbor and say, I think I love this guy. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm not going to take much of your time. I'm going to share on the topic the gospel church. The gospel church. Not just the church, but the gospel church. Because there are many churches out there, but not all of them are gospel churches. A church that carries the message of Jesus Christ, the good news. That's the type of church that I want to encourage us. And by the way, church is God's idea. And God believes in the church. And God wants people to go to church and not sit in their couches and have church in their lounges. God wants people to go to church. David says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. In other words, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to church. And in the book of Revelations, John catches a revelation and is commanded to write letters to the church. Not writing letters to just believers in a vacuum, but writes the letters to the church, different churches. God works in us, not in a vacuum, not in space, but God works in our lives, in the church, in the house of the Lord. So church is very, very important for our faith. And it is important for everybody to belong to a local church, to be part of a local church, and not just belong to that local church, but to serve in that local church, to put their energy behind the work that is being done in that local church. We are not just called to believe in Jesus. If I can say, lift up your hands, those who believe in Jesus, every hand will be up. We are called, number one, to believe in the Lord Jesus. And then number two, after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must belong to a local church. And after belonging in that local church, we must serve in that local church. That is what God has called us to do as his Christian, as his children. Can you say amen? Now, here is the first scripture that I want to read as we talk about the gospel church. 2 Peter, I hope my slides are up there. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. I'll read from the NIV. It reads as follows. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God does not want anyone to perish, but he wants everyone to come to repentance. That is God's dream. God's idea is that everyone must come to repentance. Not just me, myself, my wife, and my dog. No. Everyone. Can you say everyone, please? One more time, can you say everyone? Okay, can you say it in a closer version? I'll say everyone. Everyone. Everyone, God wants all people to be saved. He doesn't want just a chosen, frozen. He wants everyone to be saved. Let that settle in our spirit, that God wants everyone to be saved. It is in the scriptures. So the gospel church has a mandate to get everyone saved. And listen to this beautiful privilege that we have as children of God in God's quest to save everyone. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It reads as follows. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And then it says, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. God has given us this wonderful message to reconcile man to him. In other words, to get people saved. Now, this is not a mandate for pastors. This is not a mandate for apostles, teachers, the fivefold ministry. The purpose of the fivefold ministry is to encourage and equip the church so that believers can go and do the work of the ministry. In other words, make sure that everyone is saved. So as a church, every church that believes in Jesus Christ has a mandate to get the world saved. The Bible in the book of Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And then it goes on to say, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and then they may glorify your Father in heaven. I like that scripture because it says, you are the light of the world. You are not the light of the church. You are the light of the world. We are not the light of the church. We are the light of the world. We are not the light of the church. We are the light of the world. In other words, of the people out there. The church doesn't need any light. The church has the light. Jesus is here. We are already, you know, brightly colored by the Lord. So the grace that we have, the anointings that that God has given to each and every one of us as his children, it is not for us here, but it is for those out there. And unfortunately, many believers sometimes in the body of Christ, they spend their energy, their light shining on one another. Of course, not here in Franschhoek, the church is out in PE. Amen. They take their light, they are wasting it on each other. They are shining their floodlights on one another, Pastor Richard. Say, check out mine. It has got some blue colors and mine is glittering. We are busy showing off and shining our light on one another, fighting for the pulpit. When will I get an opportunity to also shine my light as a preacher? Oh, this Richard always speaking all by himself on that pulpit. When am I going to get? Doesn't he know that I'm also anointed? I also have power to preach. No, my brother, your power must shine out there, not in here. We need your power out there. Hallelujah. That's where your power is needed. Amen. Some guys are very good at fishing in the fish pond. They've got their rods, they are ready, and they go to a fish pond and they are fishing fish that is already caught. No, we are not called to fish the fish that has already been caught. We are called to go into the sea and the rivers of life and win the lost. Hallelujah. And some guys are hunting in the zoo. They want to hunt in the zoo. They've got their nice rifles aimed at a bug that is in a cage. Why? No. Go to the forest out there. Go to the highways and the byways, my brother, and hunt there. Don't hunt in the zoo. Amen. Tell your neighbor, get yourself dirty. Don't hunt in the zoo, please. Don't hunt in the zoo. So we're talking about the gospel church. Come on, say gospel church with me. The gospel church. Now, the gospel church is an active church. Jesus is raising and building a gospel church. Not a church of people that just come and warm up the seats in the church. No, but it is an active church. The gospel church is a church of action. It's a church of deeds. It's not passive. It's active. It's not watching, but it's working. A busy church, like what we did yesterday, getting into the streets, walking the streets and winning people, getting people saved, inviting people to church. That's what the church is all about. When Jesus was about to leave his disciples, he gave them a command. He said, go ye therefore and make disciples. He never said, sit ye therefore in the house of the Lord. And what have we done? Instead of going here, we are sitting here. We are sitting in the house. We are enjoying everything that is happening in the house. All the graces that come, the worship, we worship and worship. And you know what? When we come into the house, we are. It's like getting a car, a powerful engine car, biturbo engine, V10. And you know, you take this car, you low fuel it up, and you wash it. It's clean, everything. And then after fueling it up, you park it in the garage. What are you doing parking this mean engine in the garage? This thing is called for the highways. Get it out there and get those horses working. And that's what happens every Sunday. We come here, we are fueled up with the word of God. We are charged up in our spirit man. We are revived in our spirit man. And then what do? We then go and park in our homes and park in our, you know, you just go back in the job. And we are even undercover in our jobs. Undercover Christians. Nobody even knows that you are a child of God. We've got a lot of FBI undercover CIA Christians. CIA undercover Christians. Nobody knows. You are the greatest secret. Nobody knows. You know, you are like these codes of the people of this generation that not even the FBI can crack. Things are happening in your workplace and there's not even a sign to say, you know what, I think we must pray about this. I know a name that is above every other name. We sing about this name, but we don't want to tell other people about this name. We are called to be the light. And by the way, Jesus died publicly. He hung on the cross publicly. We cannot live for him privately. We must live for him publicly. Look to your neighbor, say, don't be shy about Jesus. Don't be shy about Jesus. Let people know that you love Jesus. Let people know that you serve him. Hallelujah. Don't be shy about Jesus. So a gospel church is a working church. It's not a church that accepts the status or an accepting church, but it is a church that is affecting the status quo. We're not called to accept things. We are called to affect things. That's the church. We affect things. You know, the book of Acts church was not the book of it's called the book of Acts of the church, not the book of facts. The book of Acts, not the book of facts. You know, we've got believers that are so strong. Nothing wrong with getting the facts. Get the facts. Get the word inside, But it's not just about the facts, but it's about the acts. What are you going to do with the fact? What do you do with the word? You preach the word. You share the word. You apply the word. So we are a people. We are called to be a people of deeds, not just people of talk, but people of deeds. Now, if you read you go through the book of Acts. The Bible says the church is built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, and it's all about works. It's all about deeds. These guys were busy. These guys were known. The city felt their presence, and that's what a gospel church is supposed to do. This city is supposed to know there's a church here. This city is supposed to feel there's a church here because of the fire and the power that is being released through the people and because of the things they are able to do. When they are sick people, we pray for them and they get well. Hallelujah. And when people are being attacked by spiritual forces of whatever kind, we stand in the gap and we resist them. That's what the church is there for. You see, there are two things that must happen in any local church, any church of Jesus Christ, for it to be legit, for it to be real. Two things must be happening in that local church. Number one, the gospel must be preached. Number two, believers must be pastored. That's what happens in the local church. We pastor believers, we shepherd them, we feed them the word, we grow believers, we deal with their issues, they are delivered, they are sanctified, they are healed. That's what happens in the local church. But it doesn't end there. The local church must preach the gospel to the dying world. In other words, we must have the input and we must also have the output. When we are doing just the shepherding and the pastoring of believers and we are not preaching the gospel, the church turns from being a river into a swamp. And that's not what we want. Hallelujah. The gospel church also is called, Pastor Richard, to be a church of prominence and presence. The church must be prominent. The church must be present. You know, the Bible tells us, when I talk about that, when you talk about prominence, it means that the church must be seen. It cannot be hidden. The Bible says, a city on a hill you are. The church cannot and must not be hidden. So it is important for us to understand that we, as a church, we are not just called to live for God privately, but we are called to live for God publicly. So the church has to be present. The church has to be visible. The church must be noticed. The question that we must always ask as believers concerning this message or the gospel church is, if the church would close down tomorrow, would anybody notice that there's a church that is closed down? When a church is visible, when a church is affecting the community, that when the doors are closed, the city must complain. It must not just be the believers that are complaining, but the city must complain. But something has shifted. Something is no longer happening because it is the church that prays for the city, that declares the grace of God over the city. And so when the church is no longer there, it must be visible. It must be evident. So we need to understand that we have to build this church so strong, in a manner so strong, that this city must know that there are believers here. Can I get an amen if you're still with me? So we must understand we've got to build a notable church so strong that people must know that there is a church here. You know, we are called Christian as believers. And do you know that it is not something that the Christians decided to name themselves or to go by. It is the people that lived with them, that looked at them and said, these are Christians. The Bible says the believers were first called Christians at Antioch. They didn't apply for the name and said, you know what? I think if we would become Christians, we'd call out this movement Christianese or something. You know, people, it's a cute name. No, Christianity is not a cute name, but it is a name that was given to the church by people that watched the believers and who had been alive long enough to have seen the Christ. Now, when the Christ had already ascended into heaven and they saw the believers living the Christian or the way of Christ, then they decided to name them Christians, in other words, little Christs, because they were emulating the life of Christ. They were living out the message of Jesus Christ. They were doing the things that Jesus had been doing. And so they decided that let's call this one Christians because of their deeds, not because of just what they were saying, but because of the things they were doing. Not because they met in a certain place on certain days only, but it was because they healed the sick. They raised the lame. They raised the dead. They proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ unashamedly, and then they called them the church. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us very clearly that their reputation, these people, in the book of Acts, it preceded them. Everywhere they went, people would know. I mean, there's a point where one guy said, these people that have turned the world upside down have come in, because that's what the church does. The church is there to fix things that cannot be fixed. The church is there to bring conviction to even powers that be. The church is here to call for the truth, and the church is here to raise the standard. That's what the church is all about. It's not just a place of enjoying a nice kind of life. No, but it is a place that raises soldiers. Hallelujah. We are not just here to have a spiritual experience as believers, but we are here because God is raising warriors that are going to transform the world. The Bible says the entire creation is eagerly waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. The sons of God must be seen. The people of God must be known. The people of God must be felt, because that is the gospel church. Touch your neighbor, say, I'm part of the gospel church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The church of Jesus Christ, the church of Jesus Christ must not be ignored. And the church of Jesus Christ, when it is being the true church, it cannot be ignored. The church cannot be ignored. When the church is doing the things it's supposed to do, it cannot be ignored. When the church is fulfilling its mandate, it cannot be ignored. Now, number two, the gospel church is also called to be the AA church. Can you say AA, please? AA, not Alcoholic Anonymous, of course, the AA church. What do I mean by AA church? I'm sure it's already showing up there. The church is supposed to be attractive and authentic. The church is called to be attractive and authentic. The church must be attractive enough to draw people into its place, into its presence. But at the same time, the church must remain authentic enough that when they come into the presence, they will be transformed by the message that is being preached here. Are you getting what I'm saying when I say authentic and attractive? It must be authentic and it must be attractive. But the challenge is that sometimes in the church we choose either of the two. You find that some go for authenticity, that they are so authentic, they are so frozen, they are so stiff, they are so stoic. I mean, it's like they are starched and they are living in 1945. Nothing flows, nothing changes. Of course, I see here you've got style and you are flowing and everything, but there are churches that places where everything is still like so stiff and everything. The songs are still the songs of old. Nothing changes. I mean, even when the dude is gonna preach, he stands one place and got one monotonous tone. And I mean, there's no flair, there's no joy, there's nothing, there's no charisma, there's no charm, nothing, no chemistry. You get churches like those, and then you get those who say, you know what, Tina, we're gonna be attractive, and they move away from authenticity, and they are so attractive that they bother on being like the world. You come into a church, you cannot differentiate between a club, a nightclub and a church. And there must be a difference. So we are called to balance the two. That's what a gospel church does. We must be attractive enough that the one guy who is out there, when they look at us, they feel like, I think I can associate with those. Attractive enough that we are schooled, we are educated, we are prolific, we've got the intelligentsia in the house, we can articulate, I mean we can deliberate and we can have intelligent conversations happening in the church. We must be attractive enough to be like that. We are singing songs that have got the word of God, but that are relevant, so that the people can say, you know what, I think there's life out there. I think there's life out there. But at the same time, we cannot afford that as we are busy with the attractiveness that we lose the authenticity of the gospel. The word must remain. Hallelujah. The Bible must be preached as it was preached back in the day. The Bible says, all things will pass away, but my word will remain forever. So the gospel church is a word church. We preach the word. The content must remain, even though the container may change. Hallelujah. In the 80s, I would never stand on the pulpit with a jacket and a pair of jeans. Never. It was uncalled for. You cannot. You would not do that. The mamas in the church would bind you into smithereens. I'm telling you, they would bind the daylights out of you. They would set you on fire in the spirit. You would become a prayer item in the intercession at midnight. That was back in the 90s and the 80s. But now things have changed. And I cannot be doing what I did then, because the young people will run away from the church. In our church, we've got 60% young people. Why? Because they can associate with the church. But when they come here, they find fire in the church. They find the word in the church. They find truth in the church. We still preach the word. Sin is still sin. Nothing has changed. Hallelujah. God created a man and a woman. Hallelujah. We still preach the gospel as is. We believe in one man, one woman. Hallelujah. Even though we're in South Africa that people can get 15 wives. No, no, no. The word of God says, love your own wife. So in the gospel church, we don't mix the word. The word must remain. We cannot change the content. We can change the container, but the content must be the same. When they come in, they must come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. So the gospel church is an AA church. We still, as we were going out into the highways and the byways in the 90s, we still go to the highways and the byways even now. We still do altar calls. We make altar calls. We still do outreaches. I was showing Pastor Richard some of the outreaches we do. We still go to the schools to preach the gospel. We knock at the doors and the principal and say, "Principal, would like you give us 15 minutes in your devotional time to share the word of God." And we've got 5 schools that represent over 6,000 kids every month that we impact with the gospel. Why? It is still a gospel church. What was done back in the day must still be done here, because Jesus said, "Preach the gospel. As long as I remain, preach the gospel." Hallelujah. Whilst you wait for my coming, preach the gospel. And that's what Paul said to Timothy. Preach the gospel in season and out of season. Preach the gospel. COVID or no COVID, preach the gospel. It doesn't matter the season, the church must preach the gospel. Can you say amen if you are with me? Attractive and authentic. That is the church. You know, the church that flows with the times, but still remains with a message that is timeless. Adultery is still sin. Fornication is still sin. Greed is still sin. Pride is still sin. We still preach the word. We skip no verses even in this day in the authentic church. We live in a time where people are so eager to hear what their itching ears are saying. There are certain churches where certain messages can no longer be preached today in the name of being relevant. The church was never called to be relevant. The church was called to be right. I'm going to say it again, you missed it. The church was never called to be relevant. The church was called to be right. The church is not called to be popular. The church is called to be right. Hallelujah. We live in a time of social media, time of likes, and we want to be liked. We want to trend. We want people to clap for us, and we always thrill to look at the number of followers, people that are following us. The church was never called to raise a congregation or an audience, but the church was called to raise a congregation of believers. An audience of fans you can get any day, because you are saying what they want to hear. But wait until you tell them the truth. Then you will see if they are real followers or fans. In the house of the Lord, an authentic church is not a place that is full of fans, Jesus' fans. It is a place that is full of Jesus' followers. We're not called yet to be fans of Jesus. We are here to be his followers. He said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." But you find that there's too many fans out there, but very few followers. You see, fans will be with you as long as you are saying what they want. I'm already contemplating leaving Man U right now, because they are not winning. They are breaking my heart every weekend. And I'm seriously contemplating, where can I go to? I think so. I think I might just migrate to Liverpool. At least not the noisy neighbors, Man City. No, I can't go there. At least Liverpool. You know why? I'm a fan. If they are not giving me what I want, I've got to go and find where I'm going to rejoice, because I cannot be. I'm losing weight because of Man U. So the church is supposed to be a place of diehards for Jesus. People that say, "I'm married to Jesus for better and for worse, in sickness and in health. Whether I'm blessed, Jesus is Lord. Whether I'm flourishing, Jesus is Lord. Whether I'm well or not, Jesus is Lord. He remains." So when you talk AA church, you're talking that kind of a church. A church that has people that will not melt when it's cold. And praise God, you guys don't melt when it's cold. I mean, the church is still full. Some churches, once it's raining and it's cold, they are in the blankets. You know you're going to be preaching to chairs. You just know you're going to be preaching to chairs when it's cold. They are melting when it's cold. Now that's not what followers do. Followers are with you through thick and thin. It doesn't matter whether it's raining or not. They are there. They will be cold and chilled, it will be chilling. But they will be standing right there and cheering you on with their umbrellas and plastics all over them to cover at least the rain. But they are there. Where is the church that will be there for Jesus, that will be there for the truth, that will be there for the gospel? Come rain, come shine. That's the church Jesus is reigning. People that will love Jesus even if I am married, or even if something happens to my marriage, I don't run from Jesus. I stay with Jesus. I am there. Hallelujah. That's the AA church. Now, the AA church has got a mood about it, the mood of a gospel church. As I draw to a close, I want to just talk about the mood. This generation calls it the vibe. The vibe of the gospel church. There is a vibe in the gospel church. There's something that you will find trending and flowing in the gospel church. If a church is a gospel church, these things must be there. If you don't find them, that's not a gospel church. There's a mood in a gospel church. There's something that must be there. The first thing that you find in a gospel church is prayer. Prayer, prayer, and more prayer. If it is a gospel church that will affect the world, it must be a praying church. A praying church. A church that has intercession. A church that has got believers that are willing to wake up in the middle of the night and pray. Hallelujah. Go to the book of Acts, you will find that the believers, one of their strongest points was prayer. When the church was growing, the Bible tells us that as the numbers were becoming more and more, the apostles came together and said, "Man, let us appoint demons. No, sorry, let us appoint deacons. Let us appoint deacons who are going to take care of the things in the house." In the church. Why? So that we can dedicate ourselves to prayer and the teaching of the word. They understood that this gospel cannot go far if we do not pray. A prayerless church is not going to go far because we are dealing with spiritual forces. Paul tells us that put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're fighting against principalities. So that's why we need to pray. So the gospel church is a praying church. There must be prayer. Number two, in the gospel church, the mood of the gospel church, fire comes from the pulpit. In other words, the word must be preached. There must be a pulpit that brings a word of God, which is fire that burns down anything that is standing on the way. The fire must come from the pulpit. So when you're praying every Sunday, praying for your pastor, praying for the message, pray for the fire of God to come. The fire that will quench every waters, bad waters. The fire of God must come from the pulpit. I'm not just talking about a high-pitched volume only, but I'm talking about power and fire that comes from the word. Without the word, there is no fire. Without the word, there is no power. The word of God must be preached as is coming. So in the gospel church, there is prayer. In the gospel church, there is the fire of the word. And also in the gospel church, there is fellowship. The mood of the gospel church, the people must come together. The Bible says, and they continued to meet together. Not online, they continued to meet together. Not online. They continue to meet together physically. We are losing something in the church these days because believers are so busy and they are so isolated that the fire is we are losing the fire. You know why? You don't have to put out, you pour water on a fire that is burning. All you need to do is to just isolate the logs. If you've got logs, wood that you have put together and you made a fire, if you want to take to kill that fire, you don't have to get water on that. All you need to do, isolate the logs. That's all. Get one log here, another, scatter them. And what happens? Eventually, the fire will die out. For some time, the individual log is going to, you know, burn and think that, no, I'm okay. Even in my couch, I'm fine. Even I didn't leave church. I didn't leave God. I just left church and I'm okay. I can still speak in tongues. Ra-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I'm still okay. But I'm telling you now, when the wind blows and when the tires come off, you need the church. You need the benefit of fellowship. You see, Basalwana, you see, brethren, there are things you can pull yourself out of, and there are holes you can never pull yourself out of. There are holes that call for the church to pull you out of. There are two guys that were put in prison in the New Testament. I just want to pass there as I talk about fellowship. Two people, one of them, Paul and Silas, they were put in prison, remember? They prayed in prison and they preached and they praised in prison, and fire came from heaven and the jail doors were open and the chains fell off. Remember that? But there's also another form of prison, because life has different prisons. Peter was also put in prison after they had killed James. And tomorrow they were going to deal with Peter. They put him in prison. But the Bible says whilst Peter was in prison, the church was praying. So Paul was able to bust himself and Silas out of jail, but Peter could not, because the level of imprisonment that he had, it needed other people to pray for him. There are things in this life and there are holes in this life that you cannot bring yourself out of. It doesn't matter how pretty you are. It doesn't matter how fit you are. It doesn't matter how moneyed you are. It doesn't matter how educated you are. There are things your education cannot buy. There are things your money cannot buy. It will take the prayers of the church to pull you out of. You need fellowship. You must belong to a certain people, because there are times where your faith is down, where you have even forgotten whether who is greater. Greater is he that is in me. You don't even know who is greater. You don't know even who is lesser. You don't know Elijah and Elisha, whether it was. You are so confused and you are down and out. And it is at those moments where you need somebody to lift you up. Remember Moses and the children of God when they were fighting a battle. Joshua was down in the valley. Remember that? And he was fighting with the people of God. And then the Bible says, and Moses was on the mountain with his hands lifted up. Remember that? And the Bible says, as long as Moses' hands were lifted, Joshua was winning. Joshua was winning because Moses' hands were lifted up. And the Bible says, after a while, Moses' hands grew tired. And there are two guys, Aaron and Ur, who were observant enough to notice that, you know what? When Moses' hands were up, we were winning. But now as they are going down, we are losing. And the Bible says, they came under, they provided a chair for him and they put a seat under him. By the way, they did not move him when his hands were tired. Today's church, they remove you when you are no low, when you are tired. But they did not remove him. They put a chair for him because they understood that the anointing of God was on Moses. The anointing of God flows from the man of God. So they put a seat under him, and they did not just put a seat. One went on one side under one arm, and the other was under one arm, and they lifted up the hands of Moses. And by the way, as long as Moses' hands are lifted up, your hands will be lifted up too. If you are assisting the man of God and the woman of God and lifting up their hands, your hands are also lifted up. The God of the man will help you. So fellowship, there are things you can't. Battles you can't fight on your own. In the gospel church, there must be fellowship. Don't be a loner in the house of the Lord. Make sure that you are in fellowship. One of the things that in the mood of a gospel church is that the church is growing. Hallelujah. There's growth. The Bible says in the book of Acts, and God continued to add to them those that were being saved. The church must grow. Hallelujah. I said the church must grow. Look to your neighbor. Say the church must grow. The church must grow. It must grow, and it must grow taller, it must grow in wide, because there are three ways the church grows, my pastor. There are three ways the church will grow, and also you as a believer, there are three ways you must grow, because when we say the church must grow, we are saying you must grow, because when you are growing, the church is growing. Now, when you grow taller, you grow in height, you also grow in width, you grow wider, and you also grow in depth. These are three levels of growth. Sometimes in a season, it is a season of growth in depth, solidifying the people, building the people, training the people. But after you have solidified, your roots are in the ground, you are firmly established, you must also grow in height. And now as you grow in height, you must also grow in width. Width speaks of influence. Influence. Your influence is felt. You are not just affecting the people in the church. You are affecting the people outside the church, growing in influence. So the church must also grow in influence. The Bible, and then also grow in height. Growing in height is growing in visibility. Now you are seen. Now you are appreciated. Now you are noticed that there is a man here, there is a woman here. So the church must grow. Numbers must come in the house of the Lord. And the more numbers we have, the greater the grace of our influence. This is the mood of the gospel church. Now, as the church grows, let me, towards the end, as I'm about to land my plane, say this, that as we grow the church, it is important that impactful people are won into the house of the Lord. Critical people must be saved. That's how the church growth must happen. We have to win everybody into the house. We must not just win the cute people. We must win the rough guys also. They must come into the house of the Lord. Amen. We must win the wild guys, the drug lords. We must win them into the house of the Lord. We must win the tavern kings. We've already closed two taverns in Port Elizabeth now because we won the tavern king and he turned his tavern into a spaza. He is growing now. We have even got him funding through ECDC and et cetera. And now this guy is Eastern Cape Development Corporation. And this guy now is turning his business because he was selling alcohol to people. People were coming there to get destroyed. But we found him and we brought him to Christ. And he, when the fire came in, he knew that I cannot continue to do this. We must win everybody. Gold-plated sinners. Let them come into the house of the Lord. You see, because when we win the rough people, then the city notices because the bad guys have got 50 or 100 other people that are attached to them. When you win a cob or when you win a shad, when you're fishing and get a shad, a small fish, it's just something that you can eat, just two of you. It's just for a braai. That's what you'll do for a shad, or you use it as bait. But when you win a shark and you open it up, you find that there are fish inside the shark. So when we're talking about growth in the church and winning critical people, we're talking about winning those guys that have got others inside them, those that are following them, those that will say, is so-and-so also saved? No, I want to go to that church. I want to go to that church. We need to go for the gold-plated guys, the drunkies, these ones that drink themselves. I mean, the guy who comes into the pub and he's the life of the party. That's the guy we want. Hallelujah. That's the guy we want. We need to win the girl who every guy is chasing in town. That's the girl we want. Amen. But we make sure we keep her away from the pastor. Hallelujah. At least until she's okay. Hallelujah. So that's the mood of the gospel church. Are you getting anything this morning, Master Lord? So we win everybody. You see the woman at the well. Jesus won the woman at the well who was a Mennonizer. You know about womanizers, but they are also Mennonizers. She was a Mennonizer. I mean, every guy passed through her. But Jesus went to that girl. He didn't ignore her because of her reputation. We cannot ignore the bad dudes. We cannot ignore the people that have messed up in life because they need Jesus. It is the sick that need a healer. So that woman, after she got born again, the Bible says she went back to her village and she told everybody. The Bible says the whole village was won to Jesus through her testimony. There are people like that. There are people that are carrying villages on their shoulders. You win this person, the village, the city comes to Jesus. Let's find those people. Let's pray for those people. Let's believe God for their salvation. Pray for them. Intercede and fast that I'm going to go and preach the gospel to that guy. I know he's wild. I know he smells of the world. I know that his language is bad. He uses words of war for breakfast. But that's the guy I'm going to win because the gospel church is about winning critical people. You see, when you have got critical people in the house of the Lord, you are able to do a whole lot of things. We've got to win the wealthy. Because when we win the wealthy to Jesus, then they bring their wealth into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the church does need money. Can you say amen? The church does need money. By the way, we are not allergic to money as pastors. Amen. We need the money. Pastor Richard needs the money. Amen. Hallelujah. You know why? There are no queues at Pick and Pay for pastors. There are no tills where pastors come and pay on this till. We understand, shame, you live on free will offerings. No. So the church needs the money. So we need to win the wealthy guys. Let them come in here. Hallelujah. Believe God for the guys who own the wine estates. Let them come to Jesus, because Jesus wants everyone to be saved. The ones who don't think they need Jesus, because, when we were walking down the streets yesterday, I saw some dudes who feel like, you know, I'm God myself. I mean, sitting in the restaurants and with their fork and knives, and I thought, wow, this one is old. This guy has old money here, and they think that they don't need God. That's the guy who needs God. That's the guy who needs God. And we must pray for those. Where intercession comes in. We pray for them. Lord, soften their hearts. Holy Spirit, go before us. And when we get to them, we tell them that, you know what? Heaven is a free gift. It cannot be earned or deserved. And Jesus loves you so much. That's the calling that we have as a church. Can you say amen if you're still with me? You see, in our church, there's quite a number of things that we are able to do because of the people that we have won. One of our very exciting programs we do every year in the church, we do something called a medical outreach. What is a medical outreach? A medical outreach is where a group, all the medical personnel that are in the church, they come together and we open a mini hospital for free for the community. We go into a community, we put up, all the doctors come together. We've got specialist doctors, we've got junior doctors, we've got physiotherapists, ophthalmologists, and you name them, all the specialists are there. And they come together into our church house. We did one in Anki about 2 months ago. So we set up in the church, and all the doctors are there, the nurses are there, every person in the medical field in the church, that is their outreach. They close their surgeries for 2 days and they go and serve a community for free. For free. They pay nothing. The last one we did, we saw 653 people for free in the city. They were seen by the doctors, our doctors. And now lately government has even joined us. They bring the medicines and they bring their people because they saw what church is doing. And you know what? The minister, they sent me a trophy honoring me for being a community builder because of the church. Now, we have a memorandum of understanding that is signed by the minister of health because of the impact of the church. They say, we appreciate what you are doing as the church. How's that for influence? The people in the church, the doctors. Now, I'm telling, when we're having that medical outreach, the nurse will sit there. They diagnose the guy there. The GP, general practitioner, will diagnose the person there. And they say, this needs specialist attention. They don't apply for 3 months, wait for a specialist. The specialist is sitting there. They move from there to the specialist. The specialist sees them and they feel that you need to be hospitalized. Right now, the ambulance is waiting outside. And they take the guy in the ambulance and send him there. We get dentists. I mean, they pluck out teeth there, tooth teeth. They do whatever. You see, my English is failing me now. They pluck this out and the guy they sort them out. They've got portable dentures that are ready. They to hoi in and the doctors of the ophthalmologist, the one for the eyes, they are sitting there. The lenses are there. They prescribe them. It is something that is done by the church. I tell you, nothing beats the church when the church is working well. Nothing beats the church, because they understand that I'm a child of God. I'm a believer. I belong to the local church. We support our pastor's vision. They sacrifice. They sow from their own practices. And they go and sit there and they see people for free. That is the power of the local church. Now, we cannot be denied at that stage because we do it. Government cannot do it. Now, next year they have offered us. They said, you know what, Pastor? Next year, we are going to get our doctors from the hospital to come and join your hospital because we have seen you do. Nobody goes off there. They sit there. The doctors sit there. The break they get, they move to a room and they get their tea. They come back here. Nobody disappears for 2 days, solid days. The church in action. And in the process, whilst they are waiting to be seen, it's a pity I didn't bring my pigs there. Whilst they are waiting to be seen, there's another hall. We've got tents that have got clothes and that have been donated by the church, clean clothes, decent clothes, and the people get an opportunity to shop for free. A guy will get there, get items, 3 items each for their kids, and then whilst they are waiting, the evangelists sit with them and they preach the gospel. They are going nowhere. They are waiting for the sin by the doctors. They have no choice. The evangelists, they raid them there. They preach to them. I mean, all these guys that are eager for the pulpit, you give them, go there, leave my pulpit. Go preach to those ones. Then they preach, even if they are tripping all over themselves. But at least the people are sitting there and people are getting saved. I think this year we had about 123 people that gave their lives to the Lord in that outreach. The church is called to be the light of the world. We are not just called to gather and be blessed. We must gather, we must be blessed, but over and above that, we must be a blessing. Jesus said, it is better to give than to receive. It is better to be a blessing than to be blessed. So I want to encourage us. May Shofar Franschhoek be a gospel church. May we be a church that is going, that is moving. May we be a church that is working. We must keep each other accountable. And we must be able to ask your neighbor, what are you doing in the house of the Lord? What are you doing? Where are you serving? What contribution? If you cannot be there, let your money go with us. Let your money at least be there. If you cannot be there physically, let your car also be there. Whatever you can. I mean, when we do these outreaches, we do them with everything comes from the church, from people. Some will give cars. Some will give give towards food. Some are cooking. Some bring the clothes. So everybody gets involved. And at the end of the day, the kingdom is winning. God is raising a gospel church for the last days. A church that will not sit and wait, but a church that will go and fetch the people out in the world. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminder to go to in the name of Jesus concerning your house. Thank you for the reminder concerning the calling that you have upon your church. And this morning, Lord, I pray that these words will be sealed in our hearts, that these words will not be stolen, that these words will not end in the parking lot, but that we will mix them with faith and that we will be the church that is impactful. We will be that church of influence. We will be a body of believers that love Jesus and that take Jesus to the dying world. I pray that, Lord, Holy Spirit, you will convict and convince individuals here to report for duty. I pray that you will convince them to report for duty with their leaders, to come forth to say, I'm available. Just like Isaiah did when the question was asked by the heavens, who will go for us? Whom shall we send? And Isaiah responded and said, here I am, Lord, you can send me. I pray that, Lord, we could have those in the house that will say, right here, I don't have to go to China. I don't have to go far. Right here in my city, I'm putting up my hand that, Lord, you can use me in my own sphere of influence so that I can be bright in the corner where I am in the name of Jesus. I pray that, Lord, that this will be that kind of a church. Thank you for the work that you have done already in this house and through this house. Thank you, Lord, for the impact this house has made. Thank you for the people in this city that are here right now. But I thank you, Lord, that you want everyone in this city to be saved. And thank you that there is more coming, that there is more services that will flow in the name of Jesus. I declare and release the grace of more and much more over this house in the name of Jesus. I release the grace of more and much more in the name of Jesus. So that more folk, more families, more young people may come. And I thank you that our arms will be opened in this house to bring them in, Lord, to welcome them in and to work with them and work on them so they can bring much more in Jesus' mighty name. Whilst every head is bowed and every eye closed, we cannot assume that everyone here is born again and they know Jesus. You might be here, you are not saved, you are not born again. Your soul is not at peace within you. If you can die right now, you do not know where you will go. You are not sure of your destiny. But you came to church this morning, maybe to check the church out, or maybe something brought you here that you are going through. My brother, my sister, the grace that you felt here, the warmth that you felt in this house, you can live in that space permanently. Because the difference here is Jesus. If you can receive Jesus in your heart, your life will be changed forever. And you will become like the gospel church. If that is you, where you are seated and you are saying, Pastor Jay, pray with me. I want to open my heart to Jesus. I want to receive him as my Lord and my personal Savior. You may be attending church. This is not just about attending a church, but this is about having a relationship with your Maker, with your God, with your Creator. If that is you, you are saying, I would like to receive Jesus in my life. I'm opening my heart today. Just put up your right hand for me so I can see that you are the one who is giving your life to the Lord. Is there anybody in the house? God bless you, my child, in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Praise the name of Jesus. I see a hand at the back. Anybody else? Anybody else who says, Jesus, come into my life? Can I ask you who just raise up your hand to make a very bold step just to come to the front? I want to pray with you, please. If you can just come to the front, I would appreciate it. If you are not scared, just come and receive Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. Let us bow our heads once more and close the meeting. Father, I thank you so much. Grace that is upon Shofar Frenchhook. And I thank you for how I have been received and welcomed in this house. And I thank you for the impact, my God, that we have made down here on the workers and leaders in the house. And I thank you that a seed has been sown. And I thank you that the harvest is coming. And I declare as I take my seat, victory. I declare a season of victory, a season of a great harvest, a season of prosperity, a season of restoration. Even those that were here, that are no longer here for whatever reason, they shall come back into the house of the Lord because it is a season of victory. Give you honor and glory, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone say amen. Everyone say amen. For the last time, everyone say amen. Well, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Go out there even this week and shine your light for Jesus. Be bright in the corner where you are. Until we meet again. Thank you very much.